Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California. With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington.
That was the scene from Detroit earlier tonight. NFL draft coverage continues night one here on 670 The Score. I am Rami Makhlouf alongside Hub Arkish. We will be taking your calls throughout the night. 312-644-6767. We'll hear from the Bears' new quarterback and number one pick in the draft, Caleb Williams, coming up at about 9:20. We'll check in with Mark Grody from Hallis Hall at 10 o'clock. We'll also hear from Rome Odunze at some point tonight. But obviously, want to start off the night hearing what the one, the only Hub Arkish has to say about the way that the Bears draft and the NFL draft has played out to this point. How are you this evening, Hub? We have Hub's mic. Okay, you're good.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. Great. I'm fired up for this, man. This has worked out pretty well if you're a Bears fan.
It did. I'm a little surprised that there was only the one trade. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy that J.J. McCarthy went to the Vikings and the Bears have to deal with him twice a year, because I do think he is the number one quarterback in this draft. I've been saying that for a year now.
Yeah.
Not about me going to Michigan. It's just from studying, whatever. I have nothing negative to say about Caleb Williams. We knew it was going to happen. Don't agree with me and think he should be the number one overall pick. It's going to be really interesting. I just think that everybody needs to be a little careful now, though, because everybody I'm hearing in the media and fans and going on Twitter and whatever is acting like, oh, it's a done deal. Now we've got our quarterback.
Yes.
He's the same as every other quarterback who's been taken with the first pick in the draft in the last however many years. There's no guarantees here. He is a great prospect. It's a good pick, and it makes sense. For all the right reasons, they clearly did a great job getting ready for him. And then to get Odunze at number nine, you know, with the Keenan Allen trade, they've had a great offseason so far. And these two picks really add to it.
Yeah, you and I talked a couple months ago when I was hosting a shift here on The Score. At the time, I was a keep Justin Fields guy. But I also said at the time that was not because of anything I had against Caleb Williams or didn't think he was worthy of being the number one pick in the draft. That's just where I was at that time. Once the trade was made, I was ready to move on and get behind Caleb Williams. I am with you, though, in the camp of let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, because we've seen, and not just the Bears, we've seen many a quarterback go number one or somewhere in the top five or top 10 and it not work out the way that the hopes and dreams of that fan base had hoped for or what they envisioned. And for me, a bigger question than Caleb Williams, and this is a lifetime of trauma as a Bears fan and going through and seeing what we've seen at the quarterback position, is my doubts and questions are less about Caleb Williams and more about the Bears as an organization and that they're going to put a quarterback in position to succeed. But like you said, everything that they've done so far this offseason certainly lends itself to lead you to believe that they are getting it right to this point, including Rome Odunze falling to them at number nine. I nobody cares, but Hub, I made my big board for the draft tonight. I knew it was going to be Caleb Williams at one, but just my hopes, my wish list sort of for what might happen at number nine. And I didn't think Roma Dunze was three on my big board behind Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, and I didn't think any one of those three guys would be on the board at that point. For him to fall down to the Bears right there is really a gift, and I think what a lot of Bears fans were hoping for coming into tonight.
Yeah, I had him at fifth, and to get him at ninth, you know, without having to give anything up to do it, is a plus. I'm a little disappointed in that we come into this draft with the Bears only having four picks, and I felt for a long time like I would have traded one of those first-round picks. Now, as McCarthy came up the board, it became obvious that trading the first pick wasn't such a good idea because you didn't know where you were going to end up. But once they had taken Caleb Williams, I thought trading the ninth pick made sense, especially when the best pass rusher was still on the board, not a defensive player had been taken. There were still really good receivers. But Adunze is such a good receiver. I had him as the fifth best player in my draft, and you get him at nine. So I don't know how you can say anything negative about this. I'm the only thing I worry about now is they're not going to pick again until the third round unless they trade more draft picks next year, which could happen, but there's no reason to assume they will. They've got to get another edge rusher. There's no question.
Yes.
There's other things that they need to get. But the one thing that they still really need is a number two edge rusher. And, you know, I don't know who that'll be at third. My favorite was the first defensive player off the board at 15. But with the injuries with Hector, you didn't know, you know? So I think Ryan Poles has had a really good first 2 years. He's rebuilding a franchise. I think, you know, clearly the Chase Claypool thing didn't work out. It's about the only thing that didn't work out. Some of the other stuff that went on this offseason, the problem with a couple coaches or whatever, that was those coaches. That wasn't Flus or Poles or anything like that. I think Ryan Poles in his first 2 years is doing a really good job. And I really like this offseason that he's had so far. I'm just curious now to see where he's going to find that other edge rusher and how they're going
to
do that.
Yeah, the last time I had a chance to be on these airwaves and talk about the Bears, my stance was, and Hub, it seems like in today's day and age, not just in the media, but just talking to people day to day, you have to love somebody or something or hate somebody or hate. You can't be anywhere in between, but that's kind of where I was on Ryan Poles. I said I was on the fence about him and how this offseason went was going to go a long way in terms of tipping me to one side of that fence or to the other. And I can't, like you said, I have a hard time finding the negative in what's gone on tonight. And you have to like the moves that they made in free agency. He's certainly tipping me over to the side of the fence to where I'm approving of Ryan Poles' job.
Well, you know, if you think about it, where did he come from? He was the number two guy with the best organization in football right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's who the Chiefs are, and that's where you got him from. So there's every reason to believe that he's going to be good, but because of the past with the Bears, and they haven't done that well with GMs or coaches for that matter, you know, there's been a lot of concern. But I think now with 2 years under our belt and seeing what he's done so far, you have to accept he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be perfect. There are no perfect general managers, but he seems to be getting it right so far. And I can tell you right now, we've still got a couple months to work on it, but I will be picking the Bears to go to the playoffs this year based on the way they finished the season. Now, I still want to find that other edge rusher, but based on the way they finished the season last year, based on the way the defense played the second half of the season, based on what they've done for the offense now, I think that there is a very good chance they'll be a playoff team this year. And in basically 2.5 years of a rebuild, not even you're just starting the third year. That's pretty good. You know,
I'm real close to having that type of faith, believing that they are a playoff team. I just, like I said, there's still some question marks hanging over the organization as a whole for me, despite the moves that they've made this offseason that I do like and I think are a move in the right direction. And also, Hub, the reality that while, yes, they won seven games last year, they were last place in the NFC North. You know, they're going to have to leapfrog at least one, if not two, of those teams to get into the playoff picture. And then you look at the bigger landscape of the NFC as a whole. They don't exist in a vacuum. I see what you see in terms of two or three wins of improvement on a 7-win team, but at the same time, everybody in this division and in this conference is probably feeling okay about themselves and feeling like we're a better team than we were last year. You know, and it's that game of catch up and sort of leapfrogging those teams ahead of you to nab one of those playoff spots. That's why I'm not quite ready to go there yet.
Yeah, but what I would throw in there is that when you look at where they were, the Bears, the last 5-6 weeks of the season, you look at where the Packers were, you look at where the Vikings were, I think those three teams are really fairly close to even. You know, so it's not like they're trying to catch all four teams or all three other teams. they got to catch the Lions. And I'm not even sure where the Lions are going this year. You know, we'll see what happens, you know, with them. So I think they're in a good spot. You know, certainly it wouldn't be a disaster if they didn't make the playoffs this year, but it will be disappointing because I think they're ready now. And I have to add, we're not talking, it's not just these two great prospects that they got today. They've had a really good year in free agency. Mm-hmm. To get Keenan Allen, to get DeAndre Swift, to add the pieces that they've added, I just think it's been a really good offseason so far, and that's why I feel better about where the team is at.
I heard Danny on the way in. I was listening to the Parkinson Spiegel draft show, and Danny said right after the Caleb Williams pick happened, this is the most exciting moment for a Bears fan since they made the Super Bowl. Is that going a little too? And then you add Adunze on top of that. Like we said, a lot of big statements being thrown around with Caleb Williams and this haul that they got on the first night of the draft. Is that going a little too far in your opinion, Hub? Or is it that exciting and that big a moment for the Bears and Bears fans?
I think that's going a little too far, but it's not up to me to judge Danny's sure. opinion. If that's how Danny feels, he's entitled to feel that sure. way, and he could very well be right. I personally preferred the other four or five playoff teams after the Super Bowl than just, you know, what I'm worried about now, and I'm going to say this probably 10 times tonight, I have nothing negative to say about Caleb Williams. I mean, he is, by all accounts, he was rated the number one prospect in this draft. The Bears had the number one pick. They took the right guy. I have nothing negative to say about him, but listening to, like you, Danny and Matt, you know, coming down and everything, Danny is kind of making it sound like, well, it's done now. He's ready to go to his first Pro Bowl. No, most of these quarterbacks taken with the number one overall pick don't make it. Most first-round quarterbacks don't make it. I'm not saying Williams won't. I'm excited about him. But you're going too far too fast. It's more likely, based on history, that he won't prove to be what you hope he will than that it's an automatic. And listening to the guys on the way down, they made it sound like, okay, well, now the quarterback's taken care of. No, now you took... you know, the right guy, maybe. You took a really good prospect. Now we got to see what kind of NFL player he's going to be.
And when you talk about these big statements that are out there about Caleb Williams, and not just here, I mean, you look nationally, Hub, and all the talking heads. The Bears are a subject of interest for the first time in a long time for the NFL world at large, and they echo the sort of sentiments that we're hearing here in Chicago about Caleb Williams. It seems like a lot is being heaped on this guy in terms of the expectations and where he can take this Bears franchise to and break, you know, the quarterback curse. It doesn't seem like expectations and pressure really weigh on this guy, but you don't know until you know. Are we putting too much? Can we put too much on Caleb Williams, the number one pick in the draft and the quarterback that's generational in a lot of people's opinions?
Every quarterback who's ever been taken number one overall has gone through what Williams is going through right now and is going to go through for the next year or two. So, no, you can't really put too much on him, but you can assume too much. You can count on too much. We've seen this go south. I don't know how many quarterbacks they've taken in the first round in the last 45 years, 15, you know, 14, whatever it may be. None of them have worked out. And Williams is the best prospect the Bears have taken in the first round at quarterback, but he is not necessarily the best or the only, you know, prospect at quarterback. And this is where now he's just another rookie coming into the NFL. What I do like a lot about him is the way he has cleaned a lot of things up in the last 4 or 5, 6 weeks. There was a lot of worry about the way he was handling things, about the way his father was getting involved, about the fact that he didn't have an agent. I don't know if he does yet. He didn't as of a couple of days ago. You know, there were so many things they were doing differently, but they've cleaned a lot of that up. There was all these rumors that he didn't want to be a Bear. He did away with that. He's made it clear he wants to be a Bear over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, he's done a lot more good than bad in the last couple of weeks. And I, like most fans, am really excited to see what he can do. I'm just warning everybody, not a proven product yet. You know, now we got to wait and see what comes next.
We're going to hear from Mark Grody from Hallis Hall coming up at 10 o'clock. We want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. And we will hear from the Bears' number one draft pick, quarterback Caleb Williams, coming up after a short break. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Cubs. That's Hub Arkish. Chicago Bears, excuse me. It's draft night. That's Hub Arkish.
It's okay. The Cubs won.
I'm Robbie Maglof. More draft coverage.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right after this.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
And live from the Hyundai Score Studios, Rami Makhlouf along with Hub Arkish on night one of the NFL Draft. If you're just tuning in, Bears took Caleb Williams with the number one pick. No surprise there. And then falling all the way to them at number nine was Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington, which is what I know a lot of Bears fans were hoping for. Hub and I saw that together, and we were a little bit surprised that he had slipped to him there. And then first trade in the draft happened right after that. The Vikings move up to get J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, who you said might be a problem for the Bears moving forward.
Well, I think he's going to be a really good NFL quarterback, and they got to deal with him twice a year. But he's also a rookie, so, you know, we'll wait and see. I would rather he hadn't landed in the division, but, you know, you don't worry about that. You build your best team, and then you got to beat everybody else.
And hopefully the Bears got the best quarterback in this draft, and maybe the best quarterback in their franchise's history. Not to be too hyperbolic and put too much on the kid, but Caleb Williams out of USC goes number one, and he spoke to the Chicago media just a little while ago.
Hey, Caleb, congratulations. Hey. Now that it's official, what gives you the belief? You've talked about wanting to come to a place where you can win championships. What gives you the belief that Chicago is going to be the place where you can ultimately attain that goal?
Yeah. A big reason is I believe the culture that we've been building. I would say the culture, the coaches, because that's where it stems from. And then I'd also say that the love and support that the fans have been giving, they're ready, they're hungry, they're all excited, and so are we.
Joe Lewis.
One, congratulations, Caleb, for being selected.
Thank you.
My question is, understanding that you're coming into a city that's championship starved and quarterback starved, how do you deal with that pressure, and what does the pressure mean to you?
I don't think of it in that way. That may be the narrative. For me, I go out there, I handle my job. I be a great teammate, first and foremost. I handle business on and off the field. And then I go to work. I enjoy what I do. I love what I do. I'm in there with my guys, and my guys are seeing me. They see how hard I work, their guy, their QB. And we go get it. We go win games together. That's the biggest thing, is winning games together. Because I can't win a game by myself. Keenan Allen can't win a game by himself. And so making sure that we're all together, offense, defense, special teams, and we go get it.
Steve?
Hi, Caleb. Congratulations.
Hey, Steve.
When you met with the executives here and met with the staff, you know, what were some of the impressions you got about this team and their missions and their goals?
Yeah. I say the biggest thing is that they want to win. That was the biggest and most important thing. That was really it. That's really what it came down to them or two. And that aligns with me. I want to be around people that want to win. I want to be around people that want to achieve high, because it only makes me better. That only holds me accountable. And it makes me excited to be around people like that. You're who you are. But you also are, you know, the people that are closest to you. And so having people around you that want to win only elevates you and your game.
Jason.
Hey, Caleb. Jason Leisure with the Chicago Sun-Times. I'm curious, at what point in the process did you feel like this was where you were headed and it became about acclimating to the Bears rather than waiting to see how things turned out?
Yeah, for me, it was after the top 30 visit. I felt good at that point. You know, I got around the guys, the coaches, the executive, you know, and so I was around the facility mainly. I didn't really go into the city. Obviously the facility is where I'm going to be at for majority of my time, you know, throughout weeks and days. And so, I was around the guys in the facility, and I felt comfortable. I felt good. I was happy, and ready to go.
Zach?
Hey, Caleb. Congratulations. I'm curious, how much did you know about DJ Moore, and how much have you learned in this pre-draft process about him?
Yeah. So I've met his family. Obviously hung out with him throughout the dinner, and I've learned that he's a great guy. I learned that he's ready to go. We talk, since my top 30 visit, we probably talked every week, and just reaching out to each other, connecting, because that's, you know, that's a big connection for me, obviously, getting the ball to two. So, you know, that'd be great, exciting, but we got to go to work.
Colleen?
Hey, Caleb, we've heard you talk a lot about the confidence and kind of comfort you have and who you are on and off the field. How have you kind of developed that over the course of your career? Yeah, or is it just something that's kind of innate to you?
No, I would say it was instilled in me through sacrifice, through hard work, through knowing what I want to be and where I want to be. And then the other part just came through the hard work portion. You know, when you work towards something for so long, you get an idea of what works and what doesn't. And then, you know, you stay humble throughout the process and you make adjustments, you learn, and go from there.
Hey, what's up, Caleb? Welcome to Chicago, man. You talked for a long time about, you know, having a major goal of being a number one pick. Now that you actually accomplished that goal, how does the reality of the moment compare to what you imagined it would be?
Yeah, I didn't know how I was going to react in the moment. I was trying to think through it in my head throughout the process, but nothing feels better than actually being in the moment, actually getting that call. You know, I didn't feel nervous. I didn't feel any of that. I was anxious and ready to go. I was just ready to get the call so I could walk out there on stage and just finally be back on the team is honestly what I'm excited for.
Alex?
Hey, Caleb, congratulations.
Thank you.
You mentioned the Bears saying that they're all about winning, and this is, you know, something that was important to you. But I imagine lots of NFL teams say they're all about winning. So I'm just curious, was there anything that they did, said, demonstrated to you that, you know, they were for real and it wasn't just words?
Yeah. I would say when I met with the coaches, they didn't just tell me, they were showing me how we do it. And that's always big. I've always been a routine guy. I've always been, you know, true to my word, committed to that and things like that. So they've been saying that they want to win. They've been saying that they're, you know, they're hungry and things like that. And then, you know, when I went there on a visit, they were showing me, you know, plans and how they do it and how they, you know, how they plan on implementing that and things like that, you know, throughout the whole team, myself, to be able to lead these guys to victories.
John?
Hey, Caleb, what's happening?
How's it going?
So, I mean, you talked about this before with, you know, when people are talking about the history, the Bears' history with the quarterbacks, right? But you must have known something about it. Did you look into this before when you knew they were going to get the top pick? Did you have any questions on why quarterbacks haven't succeeded here? I'm just curious how much you looked into that.
Yeah, you obviously look into it to be the only team without a 3,000-yard passer, I believe, right? 4,000? 4,000, yeah, four. You look into it and you wonder why. And I ask questions, obviously. I have no shame in asking questions. And so, you know, you ask why and things like that. And they're all for answering questions. They told the truth. And, you know, that's what that was. They told me the truth. They told me and my dad the truth about why and what and where and how it's going to change. And, you know, that's what we're excited about.
There's Caleb Williams, number one pick in tonight's NFL draft by the Chicago Bears out of USC. And Hub, I love that he brings up the fact that the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer. And and from the beginning, ever since, you know, his name has been attached to the Bears, he hasn't hid from the history of Bears quarterbacks and the fact that he doesn't feel like that has any influence on what he'll do in his career. It doesn't seem to faze him at all what we've seen transpire at the quarterback position over decades with the Chicago Bears.
I think that, you know, one of the things that must have been what sold the Bears and Ryan Poles on him and his family and where they're at. Remember a month and a half ago, there were a lot of concerns about the family part of it, about what his dad was doing, about, you know, the way they were handling it. They realized that. And if you do your homework and study their past, you'll find out that his parents are very accomplished people. They've raised him right. And they apparently found out that some of the things they were doing weren't helping. And so they took steps to fix them. And a lot of what they've done in the last, I think, 3 or 4 weeks has really been cleaning up this picture. And what we're finding out now is that this is a special young man as far as the mental approach. Mm-hmm. I said this right at the top. I think it's the most important thing when evaluating quarterbacks. It's the mental part of it. It's not the physical part of it. He seems to have it. I mean, obviously, his dad is successful and very accomplished. His mom is successful and very accomplished. He's been raised right. He's saying and doing all the right things. And I don't hear, you know, a month ago we were talking about the concern about taking him might be that he could be a problem in the locker room or with his teammates or whatever. Everything I've seen in the last month or so is the opposite. I think you've got the right guy. Now, that also, I don't want to keep going back to the same thing. One of the reasons I'm so high on McCarthy, and I've studied him so much and know so much, is that mentally and the way he approaches it, his understanding of the game, it's special. And now with what I'm hearing and seeing and have been reading and trying to learn more about Williams in the last month, he may be too, you know, and that's why, to me, they've always been the 1-2 guys.
Yeah, he seems like, I don't remember who it was. I was at the Parkinson Spiegel QB town hall a few months ago, and somebody made the comparison of like a, I don't know, like a Michael Jordan, not in the accomplishments, but just sort of that settling presence and personality of a guy who always seems to feel like and give off the vibe of, I got this. We got this. You know what I mean? And you don't know, he knows how to win the interview and win the public perception game. You don't know how that translates on the field till you see it translate on the field. But he is hitting home runs. I heard Coach Wanstead saying earlier in the night, he had his doubts about Caleb Williams from a personality standpoint with all the things that we heard. And he won over Coach Wani with the run of interviews that he's done this week. Well, I guess a better analogy is he's dropping dimes. He's throwing touchdowns in every press opportunity, every interview he seems to get. If you weren't a Caleb Williams guy, you probably are by now. He's probably won you over by now because he has that type of personality.
Yeah, I will say one thing right now, though. Don't compare him to Michael Jordan. That's not fair. That's just not fair to him, okay? He is every bit the prospect now that Michael was, you know, 35, sure, 40 years ago or whatever. But don't do that to him, because asking him to live up to that is just way too much. You know, the bottom line is that he's checked all the bases in the last, really, 3-4 weeks. They made a couple mistakes early. They figured it out fast. It showed how smart they are. They've cleaned them all up. And everything they're saying and doing and the way they're acting right now should make Bears fans feel good about the possibilities. He is the number one prospect in this draft. I don't think anybody is going to debate that. He has been for some time. Now you got to hope he can live up to it, because playing at the NFL level is nowhere near what playing at the, you know, top college football level.
A couple other things that jumped out to me when we heard from Caleb Williams a minute ago, and we do want to get to your calls, 312-644-6767. Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish with you on night one of the Scores NFL draft coverage. He said he felt good about coming to the Bears after the top 30 visit that he had with them. And we did hear the rumblings a month ago when all the stuff was swirling around Caleb Williams that maybe he didn't want to be a Chicago Bear, didn't want to come to Chicago. Do you think there was some winning over, some convincing that had to be done with Caleb Williams in terms of making this a place that he wanted to come to? Well, at the end of the day, he doesn't have the ultimate choice. They have the pick. He's the top draft prospect. If they take him, he would have to fight like hell to get out of here. But to make him want to be here and make this a place where he was happy to come to.
You know, at the end of the day, every one of the 32 kids picked tonight is going to go probably not to their favorite team. You know, I mean, you don't just get to, I grew up a Bears fan, so I'm going to be a Bear. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, and they learned that. I think they've been hopefully preparing for that. It takes care of itself after the first couple of weeks, especially when they see what that first contract has in it. You know, but at the end of the day, I know I keep saying the same thing, but they made a few mistakes early. They had things to clean up. I've been really impressed with the way they've cleaned it all up and made it all go away. I mean, they sound very happy to be Chicagoans
right.
already.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a good thing. And he can't be making that up because he's here for the next 4 or 5 years.
Right.
You know? So that's just, it's one thing, one more impressive thing about the young man, I guess is the way to look at it is, you know, he obviously, again, there were some questions early, but his parents are obviously very bright, very successful, you know, sound in what they're doing for their son. And I just like the way they've handled this the last few weeks, the way they're handling it now. And I like the fact that they've added some real NFL stars. I mean, DJ Moore was already here. You have, you know, Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Watt. You know, you had some guys. But now you add Keenan Allen. You draft Adunze. You sign DeAndre Swift. You've got all these top-level NFL Pro Bowl talents around you to help him get settled. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they react with him and how he reacts with them. But I'm sure that's where it's Matt Eberflus's job and Ryan Poles and some of the other coaches to teach them, you know, how to interact. And what I'm seeing so far is it looks like it's probably going to go pretty well.
And the last thing before we squeeze in some calls here, Mark Grody at 10, we're going to be taking your calls right up until then here in just a couple minutes. But the first thing he said about the Bears in that clip that we just heard of him talking to the media was culture. And when we opened the show, Hub, I said, I have less doubts about Caleb Williams than I do about the Bears as an organization, just given how they've mishandled quarterbacks most of my life, quite frankly. And one of the reasons that I think they haven't been able to develop a great quarterback has been the culture. It's a word that gets thrown around a lot. Is it overused in your opinion? And do you see a culture shift in the Bears organization under Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus?
Well, I think it's definitely overused only because of the last 4, 5, 6 quarterbacks who haven't worked out, there have been 3, 4, or 5 different cultures. You know,
sure.
You can't keep, just because it's the Chicago Bears doesn't mean it's different people doing different things.
Right.
And all this should be based on right now in terms of evaluating and then making predictions is what this culture looks like. And now I'll go back to what I said. I think Ryan Poles has had a really good first 2 years. I like the way he's approaching things. The one thing that I have to confess troubled me a little bit is I didn't think it was as important. I don't think what they did for Justin Fields was such a great thing. I believe Ryan Poles, we said he wanted to do the right thing by Fields, but look what he did by him. He puts him somewhere where they're not going to, they have already, the deadline passed. His contract next year is not being reviewed. He's not going to be the starter unless Wilson really stinks. And so he's probably going to be looking for another team at the end of the year. I'm not sure how they did him any favors by trading him to the Steelers for only a 6th-round pick. So that part is still a little confusing to me. But I know, I do believe when I listen to Ryan that he thinks he did the right thing by him and that he clearly took less to let him go there. And apparently, you know, Justin did say he liked the idea of going to Pittsburgh. So it's all positive. But I'm not sure, you know, I was with you, you know, a month ago. I also said I would have kept him, not as my quarterback. I had already decided he was not going to be their starting quarterback, but as an athlete and as a target, much like the quarterback, running back, receiver that the Lions have that they used so well last year. I can never remember the guy's name. I thought that they could use him as a weapon for Williams, whoever the next quarterback was going to be. And I would have held on to him because he was under contract for this year anyway. So I wouldn't have had a problem if they kept him. I also didn't have a problem when they dealt him once it was clear that they expect Williams to be the starter this year. That's the key because they have not added another veteran. Well, they've added a veteran who wasn't even a number three before, you know, and I don't think Bajan, who I like a lot, you know, but I think best case, he's probably a 2. So, I'll be pretty surprised if Caleb Williams isn't the opening day starter.
That's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf. 312-644-6767. We're going to open up the phone lines now for your calls before we hear from Mark Grody at 10 o'clock. We'll hear from Roma Dunze in that 10 o'clock hour as well. Special thanks to Aurelio's Pizza, Chicago's oldest pizza chain, for feeding us tonight. Aurelio's Pizza celebrating their 65th anniversary. Order from one of Aurelio's 37 locations and visit aureliospizza.com. For the location nearest you, Aurelio's Pizza, celebrating 65 years, it's the sauce. I was pulling out of a drive-thru when I heard the guys mention that there was Aurelio's Pizza here, so I only had 3 slices. So Hub, did you get any of the Aurelio? It's so good. It is the sauce, really.
You know, I'm going to have to get some because it is so good. I actually brought some dinner because I didn't know they were giving us food. So.
Yeah, I also had dinner. So
didn't stop any of us from eating the Aurelios because it's really, really, they don't get to 65 years because it's not good. All right, we'll open up the phone lines for you next. 312-644-6767. Caleb Williams at 1, Roma Dunze at 9. It's night 1 of draft coverage right here on 670 The Score.
When you see all the things that come with Caleb Williams, people have talked about the nail polish and the flair that he, you know, the way that he dresses, and he made so much money in NIL. I can tell you from experience, this guy has a competitive fire in his eyes. And ever since I talked with him as a true freshman when he was at Oklahoma, this is what he has been dreaming of. Not only this moment, but being the number one pick. This has been his goal. He wants to go to an organization, and as he told me, change the culture. He wants to be that engine for the Chicago Bears.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
That was Joel Klatt on NFL Network talking about number one pick in tonight's NFL draft. Caleb Williams going to the Chicago Bears to get Roma Dunze at number 9. I'm Rami Makhlouf alongside the one and only Hub Arkish. We'll hear from Mark Grody live from Hallis Hall coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll hear from Roma Dunze in that 10 o'clock hour as well. But phone lines open to you now at 312-644-6767. Score listener lines powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's go to Huntley and Jeff. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Hub, a couple questions. First of all, I'm cautiously optimistic about Caleb Williams. I was like you, at least what you said a few weeks back. You, at that point, you wanted the Bears to trade down and get some more draft capital, and I felt that way too. Two questions. One, if Caleb is a transformational player, generational talent, why didn't he crack the top 10 in Heisman voting this year? And are you still of a mind, as you put it a few weeks ago, that Caleb hasn't played his best football in his best games?
Well, not in all of his best games, but he has had some bad games in the most important games. And this year in particular, with almost a 500 record and five different poor performances, you know, he wasn't going to get a Heisman Trophy. So, you know, he didn't have the year he had in 22. He didn't have a bad year. You know, none of those tools that make him the number one prospect in this draft were gone. Their defense wasn't very good. They were constantly playing catch up, and he just didn't play his best football every week. But that's going to happen to everybody. You know, that happens to Hall of Famers. So that by itself, he didn't play badly enough to lower, you know, what should have been his value or his ranking. But you know, the honest truth is he didn't play nearly as well in 23 as he did in 22.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And the counter to that, Hub, is that, and I heard Parkins bring this up, 46 touchdown to one interception in the red zone over the last 3 years, more touchdowns than anybody in college football the last 3 years. I mean, the large sample size of Caleb Williams indicates that, you know, he's a pretty dang good prospect. And on top of that, what we talked about before of the intangibles of the mental and the personality and being someone that, you know, guys want to follow, that fan bases fall in love with, those types of intangibles along with the numbers that he's put up, I think is more than enough to give this guy the resume to go number one in the NFL draft and the generational tag that gets thrown on him.
Yeah, I think what's hurt him a little bit is that he got too big too soon. You know, and we've been talking about him for 2-3 years already, and that's going to eat on you after a while. But at the end of the day, and you know, I talk about this a lot on the air, it's all about studying tape. If you're not studying tape and you're not watching him play, and you don't know what you're looking for, then your opinion or my opinion isn't as good as the people who are making these opinions. And we have to remember that. But in his case, there's no question about his athletic ability, that he has all the athletic talents to be a top quarterback in the NFL. And so I come back to this mental aspect. Why didn't he play his best games in those five losses this year? You know, I don't know why. I it's not a reason not to take him. I'm not criticizing the Bears taking him, but those are the things that happen as these guys are developing that leave you with all these questions. I mean, you know, who saw the Cardinals doing what they did at eight? That pick made no sense whatsoever, and yet they think that they've
you
got...
You mean the Falcons.
I mean the Falcons, I'm sorry, yeah. And they got... They obviously think they got their quarterback of the future who won't even play for 2 or 3 years because of the contract that they just signed. But, you know, everybody's different, you know, and that's the way the NFL draft works.
And this might sound like making excuses, but if anything, I'm consistent across the board in how I make excuses or the way that I look at the quarterback position, Hub. When you talk about the five games that he lost this season, I think USC's defense gave up over 40 points in every one of those games. You look at the talent around him in 23 versus 22. He lost some key players, both at wide receiver and on the offensive line. And it's the same excuse, if you want to call it that, that I gave to Justin Fields all these years of tell me how good any quarterback is when they're running for their lives or they don't have great wide receivers to throw to or they're constantly playing from behind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't expect Caleb Williams to be Superman. And he wasn't going to be that for USC, and that's why they had the season that they had. And I don't expect him to be that for the Bears. And he talked about it in the press conference we just heard. You need a complete team around him. And that doesn't just mean good offensive players for him to throw the ball to or a good offensive line to protect him. A good defense, so he's not constantly playing from behind on the scoreboard. Good special teams to give you good field position on a consistent basis. I think that's what you saw in the drop-off from Caleb Williams this year was just a less complete USC team that he was playing for.
Yeah, and I am not suggesting in any way that it was Williams' fault that they lost those five games. You know,
sure.
He didn't play his best football in those games, but he's not the reason they lost.
Right.
I mean, he again, we can say this all night long. He absolutely is the number one prospect in this draft. We've known that for a year or two, you know, so there's no question about that. Now it's a question of what is it going to take for him to become an NFL franchise quarterback, because that's different from being the best prospect in the draft. And that's where there's going to have to be some patience now. This is where we keep talking about what Poles has done and what the Bears have done. They really have done a good job of setting him up to succeed quickly. He's got everything he needs right now. I don't know if they've improved the offensive line enough, but I don't think the offensive line was that bad either. You know, they definitely have dramatically improved the wide receiver position. I don't know if they've improved the running back position, but it's certainly as good and maybe a little bit better than it was. And I still like Justin Herbert a lot, too. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. You know, and they've definitely, you know, improved their depth at tight end, where Cole Kmet is probably going to go to a Pro Bowl or two before he's done. So it's about everything they've done this offseason. This is a completely different roster than what we saw 1 year ago today.
Let's go to Robert in Kenosha. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys, I was wondering what your thoughts were on the third-round pick and the fourth-round pick. Looking at some of the draft boards, it looks like there will be some edges as well as some offensive linemen available at those two picks that could, at least build depth for both positions. I know the offensive line is still kind of weak in a few places, and the defensive line could definitely use a kind of a dynamic pass rusher. I'm not quite sure we'll be able to get anybody at that point in the draft, but what are your guys' thoughts on that? And then I guess my last point is, would you use the fourth round pick on the punter from Iowa, being that he is such a good punter with the defense you have this year and a new quarterback? I'll hang up and let you guys answer.
Well, let me take the last one first. Absolutely not. If I've only got four picks in the draft and the fourth is the last one, I'm not using it on a punter, especially when I have a really good punter. I'm not criticizing the guy you want to take. I'm just saying, no, that's not the way you use your draft picks. So that I would not do.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't either.
No, as far as the rest of it, I think the starting lineup was in pretty good shape when the season ended last year. They needed to add a few special players. They've done that now. And I think the bottom line is with the Adunze pick, they are maybe the best wide receiver roster in the league. Can you think of another team that has three receivers that can match up with those three? Well, we don't know about Odunze yet, but I mean, he's clearly a top 10 pick.
I have a hard time wrapping my head around what you just said, Hub, as a lifelong Bears fan, that they have the best, what they might have.
I don't think the question's ever been asked before.
You just broke my brain. Just off the top of my head, I can't necessarily come up with a 1-3 that has the potential that the Bears have with their 1, 2, and 3.
Probably the 49ers.
Yep.
You know, maybe I can't think of anybody else, though, that I would definitely take ahead of the Bears, you know. And that's going to get more and more exciting as we get closer to the season. We haven't seen that yet.
Right.
We don't know what that looks like.
Right.
You know? And that's going to be really fun to watch.
And about what he said about offensive linemen and an edge rusher, those are certainly and you're right. I feel like there is room for improvement on the offensive line, but I wouldn't call it a disaster what we saw from the offensive line last year. I'd like to see better protection than what we saw for Justin Fields. But as far as an edge rusher, Hub, I think the opposite of Montez Sweat, I think that's a void that needs to be addressed at some point this offseason.
You know, you can always get better, but the offensive line is not a need. I mean, they're good with what they've done in free agency. And then there's Nate Davis, who, you know, was a key signing last year. He had just a bad year. I feel bad for the guy. There were family issues, there were health issues, and he really never showed up. But hopefully with a better offseason, he will come back and he will dramatically improve the guard position. The tackle position, there'll be tackles in the third and fourth round. The tackle position is very deep. And the centers are fairly deep. The offensive guards are not. But I think that really, if they don't make another trade and get more picks, and now I'm not sure how they do it without trading a pick next year, you pretty much have to, you've got to get more at edge rusher. And beyond that, I'm not so sure they don't need another safety, too. Nobody talks about that position. But I'm not sure if they're as deep there as they want to be. But if they get an edge rusher and one more, you know, potential starter in the secondary, it's going to be a great offseason.
I'm remiss in not keeping people updated on what's transpired in the NFL draft after the Bears grabbed Rome Odunze at 9. Vikings trade up. They get J.J. McCarthy, the QB, out of Michigan at 10. Olu Fashanu, the offensive tackle out of Penn State, goes 11 to the Jets. Bo Nix, the quarterback from Oregon, he goes to Denver. Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia, goes 13 to the Raiders. Talaisi Fuaga, did I get that right? Oregon State, he goes 14 to the New Orleans Saints. Laiatu Latu, he goes 15, the edge rusher out of UCLA, who had some health concerns. I was watching his story on NFL Network today. That the what that kid has endured to reach this point is amazing. Byron Murphy, the second defensive tackle from Texas, a guy who I had my eye on for the Bears, he goes to Seattle at 16. Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama, goes to Minnesota at 17. Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia, Bengals at 18. Jared Verse, edge rusher from Florida State, goes to the Rams. Troy Fatuanu, he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the offensive guard. Chop Robinson, one of the best names in this draft, from Penn State, goes to the Dolphins. And Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo, the cornerback, goes to the Eagles. And Brian Thomas Jr., LSU wide receiver, he ends up with the Jaguars at 23. So that's...
How about the Vikings trading up twice in the first round?
Oh, they did, didn't they? So I didn't even catch that as I was going through. Yeah, they moved up.
Their second pick of Dallas Turner, they traded with the Jaguars to go up to 17.
Huh. And they're aggressive, man. They're a team that does not stand pat. They see what they want, and they go and they get it. And I think they remain a problem in the NFC North. It's going to be a tight bunch and a hard-fought division, in my opinion, coming up next year. We'll hear from Rome Odunze in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to take more of your calls. We're here all night long at 312-644-6767.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of draft coverage right here on 670 The Score.
When you see all the things that come with Caleb Williams, people have talked about the nail polish and the flair that he, you know, the way that he dresses, and he made so much money in NIL. I can tell you from experience, this guy has a competitive fire in his eyes. And ever since I talked with him as a true freshman when he was at Oklahoma, this is what he has been dreaming of. Not only this moment, but being the number one pick. This has been his goal. He wants to go to an organization, and as he told me, change the culture. He wants to be that engine for the Chicago Bears.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
That was Joel Klatt on NFL Network talking about number one pick in tonight's NFL draft, Caleb Williams going to the Chicago Bears to get Rome Odunze at number 9. I'm Rami Makhlouf alongside the one and only Hub Arkish. We'll hear from Mark Grody live from Hallis Hall coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll hear from Rome Odunze in that 10 o'clock hour as well. But phone lines open to you now at 312-644-6767. Score listener lines powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's go to Huntley and Jeff. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Hub, a couple questions. First of all, I'm cautiously optimistic about Caleb Williams. I was like you, at least what you said a few weeks back. You, at that point, you wanted the Bears to trade down and get some more draft capital, and I felt that way too. But two questions. One, if Caleb is a transformational player, generational talent, why didn't he crack the top 10 in Heisman voting this year? And are you still of a mind, as you put it a few weeks ago, that Caleb hasn't played his best football in his best game?
Well, not in all of his best games, but he has had some bad games in the most important games. And this year in particular, with almost a 500 record and five different poor performances, you know, he wasn't going to get a Heisman Trophy. So, you know, he didn't have the year he had in 22. He didn't have a bad year. You know, none of those tools that make him the number one prospect in this draft were gone. Their defense wasn't very good. They were constantly playing catch up, and he just didn't play his best football every week. But that's going to happen to everybody. You know, that happens to Hall of Famers. So that by itself, he didn't play badly enough to lower, you know, what should have been his value or his ranking. But, you know, the honest truth is he didn't play nearly as well in 23 as he did in 22.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And the counter to that, Hub, is that, and I heard Parkins bring this up, 46 touchdown to one interception in the red zone over the last 3 years, more touchdowns than anybody in college football the last 3 years. I mean, the large sample size of Caleb Williams indicates that, you know, he's a pretty dang good prospect. And on top of that, what we talked about before of the intangibles of the mental and the personality and being someone that, you know, guys want to follow, that fan bases fall in love with, those types of intangibles, along with the numbers that he's put up, I think is more than enough to give this guy the resume to go number one in the NFL draft and the generational tag that gets thrown on him.
Yeah, I think what's hurt him a little bit is that he got too big too soon. You know, and we've been talking about him for 2-3 years already, and that's going to eat on you after a while. But at the end of the day, and you know, I talk about this a lot on the air. It's all about studying tape. If you're not studying tape and you're not watching him play, and you don't know what you're looking for, then your opinion or my opinion isn't as good as the people who are making these opinions, and we have to remember that. But in his case, there's no question about his athletic ability, that he has all the athletic talents to be a top quarterback in the NFL. And so I come back to this mental aspect. Why didn't he play his best games in those five losses this year? You know, I don't know why. I it's not a reason not to take him. I'm not criticizing the Bears taking him, but those are the things that happen as these guys are developing that leave you with all these questions. I mean, you know, who saw the Cardinals doing what they did at 8? That pick made no sense whatsoever, and yet they think that they've
you
got...
You mean the Falcons.
I mean the Falcons, I'm sorry, yeah. And they got... They obviously think they got their quarterback of the future who won't even play for 2 or 3 years because of the contract that they just signed. But, you know... Everybody's different, you know, and that's the way the NFL draft works.
And this might sound like making excuses, but if anything, I'm consistent across the board in how I make excuses or the way that I look at the quarterback position, Hub. When you talk about the 5 games that he lost this season, I think USC's defense gave up over 40 points in every one of those games. You look at the talent around him in 23 versus 22. He lost some key players, both at wide receiver and on the offensive line, and it's the same excuse, if you want to call it that, that I gave to Justin Fields all these years of tell me how good any quarterback is when they're running for their lives or they don't have great wide receivers to throw to or they're constantly playing from behind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't expect Caleb Williams to be Superman, and he wasn't going to be that for USC, and that's why they had the season that they had. And I don't expect him to be that for the Bears. And he talked about it in the press conference we just heard. You need a complete team around him, and that doesn't just mean good offensive players for him to throw the ball to or a good offensive line to protect him, a good defense so he's not constantly playing from behind on the scoreboard, good special teams to give you good field position on a consistent basis. I think that's what you saw in the drop-off from Caleb Williams this year was just a less complete USC team that he was playing for.
Yeah, and I am not suggesting in any way that it was Williams' fault that they lost those 5 games. You know,
sure.
He didn't play his best football in those games, but he's not the reason they lost.
Right.
I mean, he again, we can say this all night long. He absolutely is the number one prospect in this draft. We've known that for a year or two, you know, so there's no question about that. Now it's a question of what is it going to take for him to become an NFL franchise quarterback, because that's different from being the best prospect in the draft. And that's where there's going to have to be some patience now. This is where we keep talking about what Poles has done and what the Bears have done. They really have done a good job of setting him up to succeed quickly. He's got everything he needs right now. I don't know if they've improved the offensive line enough, but I don't think the offensive line was that bad either. You know, they definitely have dramatically improved the wide receiver position. I don't know if they've improved the running back position, but it's certainly as good and maybe a little bit better than it was. And I still like Justin Herbert a lot, too. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. You know, and they've definitely, you know, improved their depth at tight end, where Cole Kmet is probably going to go to a Pro Bowl or two before he's done. So it's about everything they've done this offseason. This is a completely different roster than what we saw 1 year ago today.
Let's go to Robert in Kenosha. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys, I was wondering what your thoughts were on the 3rd-round pick and the 4th-round pick. Looking at some of the draft boards, it looks like there will be some edges as well as some offensive linemen available at those two picks that could, you know, at least build depth for both positions. I know the offensive line is still kind of weak in a few places, and the defensive line could definitely use a kind of a dynamic pass rusher. I'm not quite sure we'll be able to get anybody at that point in the draft, but what are your guys' thoughts on that? And then I guess my last point is, would you use the 4th-round pick on the punter from Iowa, being that he is such a good punter with the defense you have this year and a new quarterback? I'll hang up and let you guys answer.
Well, let me take the last one first. Absolutely not. If I've only got 4 picks in the draft and the 4th is the last one, I'm not using it on a punter, especially when I have a really good punter. I'm not criticizing the guy you want to take. I'm just saying, no, that's not the way you use your draft picks. So that I would not do.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't either.
No, I, you know, as far as the rest of it, I think the starting lineup was in pretty good shape when the season ended last year. They needed to add a few special players. They've done that now. And I think the bottom line is with the Odunze pick, they are maybe the best wide receiver roster in the league. Can you think of another team that has 3 receivers that can match up with those 3? We don't know about Odunze yet, but I mean, he's clearly a top 10 pick.
I have a hard time wrapping my head around what you just said, Hub, as a lifelong Bears fan, that they have the best, what they might have.
I don't think the question's ever been asked before.
You just broke my brain. Just off the top of my head, I can't necessarily come up with a 1-3 that has the potential that the Bears have with their 1, 2, and 3.
Probably the 49ers.
Yep.
You know, maybe I can't think of anybody else though that I would definitely take ahead of the Bears, you know. And that's going to get more and more exciting as we get closer to the season. We haven't seen that yet.
Right.
We don't know what that looks like.
Right.
You know? And that's going to be really fun to watch.
And about what he said about offensive linemen and an edge rusher, those are certainly, and you're right. I feel like there is room for improvement on the offensive line, but I wouldn't call it a disaster what we saw from the offensive line last year. I'd like to see better protection than what we saw for Justin Fields. But as far as an edge rusher hub, I think the opposite of Montez Sweat, I think that's a void that needs to be addressed at some point this offseason.
You know, you can always get better, but the offensive line is not a need. I mean, they're good with what they've done in free agency. And then there's Nate Davis, who, you know, was a key signing last year. He had just a bad year. I feel bad for the guy. There were family issues, there were health issues, and he really never showed up. But hopefully with a better offseason, he will come back and he will dramatically improve the guard position. The tackle position, there'll be tackles in the third and fourth round. The tackle position is very deep. And the centers are fairly deep. The offensive guards are not. But I think that really, if they don't make another trade and get more picks, and now I'm not sure how they do it without trading a pick next year, you pretty much have to, you've got to get more at edge rusher. And beyond that, I'm not so sure they don't need another safety, too. Nobody talks about that position. But I'm not sure if they're as deep there as they want to be. But if they get an edge rusher and one more, you know, potential starter in the secondary, it's going to be a great offseason.
I'm remiss in not keeping people updated on what's transpired in the NFL draft after the Bears grabbed Rome Odunze at 9. Vikings trade up. They get J.J. McCarthy, the QB, out of Michigan at 10. Olu Fashanu, the offensive tackle out of Penn State, goes 11 to the Jets. Bo Nix, the quarterback from Oregon, he goes to Denver. Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia, goes 13 to the Raiders. Talaisi Fuaga, did I get that right? Oregon State, he goes 14 to the New Orleans Saints. Laiatu Latu, he goes 15, the edge rusher out of UCLA, who had some health concerns. I was watching his story on NFL Network today. That the what that kid has endured to reach this point is amazing. Byron Murphy, the second defensive tackle from Texas, a guy who I had my eye on for the Bears, he goes to Seattle at 16. Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama, goes to Minnesota at 17. Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia, Bengals at 18. Jared Verse, edge rusher from Florida State, goes to the Rams. Troy Fatuanu, he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the offensive guard. Chop Robinson, one of the best names in this draft, from Penn State, goes to the Dolphins. And Quinion Mitchell, out of Toledo, the cornerback, goes to the Eagles. And Brian Thomas Jr., LSU wide receiver, he ends up with the Jaguars at 23. So that's
how about the Vikings trading up twice in the first round?
Oh, they did, didn't they? So I didn't even catch that as I was going through. Yeah, they moved
their second
up.
Pick of Dallas Turner, they traded with the Jaguars to go up to 17.
Huh? And they're aggressive, man. They're a team that does not stand pat. They see what they want and they go and they get it. And I think they remain a problem in the NFC North. It's going to be a tight bunch and a hard-fought division, in my opinion, coming up next year. We'll hear from Rome Odunze in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to take more of your calls. We're here all night long at 312-644-6767. You can also text that number. But coming up next, Mark Grody, live from Hallis Hall. We'll see how folks are feeling out there. Right after this, it's night one of draft coverage. Bears take Caleb Williams, number one. Rome Odunze, number nine. He's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf. We're back right after this.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.